The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I needed the bean nectar, as DJ Automatic calls it. I needed it so bad this morning. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show, brought to you by Kohl's. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Automatic, you sound like you need some bean nectar, too.
I was going to say, man.
We call bean nectar cafecito, coffee. That's coffee. I am very tired. I'm supposed to come in here and be like peppy, and I'm peppy. But we have been running at full speed for 2 weeks. And my body said this morning.
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Nobody has ever ran at full speed here.
No, not for 2 weeks.
I don't know.
No.
I did run at full speed yesterday.
I don't know if you've ever ran at full speed. Full speed run?
You guys want to do that little TikTok challenge where you run full speed?
Let me think about that, Automatic. No. I'm not about that life. But I am really tired. And so I started to think to myself, what can I do? I put a little extra coffee in the coffee. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The grounds. Mm-hmm. Put a little extra in there. I noticed Jesse Watt. She's coming in the studio right now to hand our papers. Girl, you had coffee this morning. Are you thinking about intravenous cafecito?
What is that?
Well, you're putting coffee in your veins.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, she's down. That's all we're getting from her. She's tired, too.
Yeah, no, I rely on, of course, caffeine like everybody else. But also, in my head, I've been lately on my TikTok algorithm doing a lot of like motivational speeches and quotes and whatnot. And there's one from UFC great Khabib who says, nobody cares if you're tired. Champions are tired.
I care that you're tired.
I'm not going to lie. When you started off with UFC and then you were going to quote somebody, I was like, didn't think it was going to be that great. But I care
if Automatic is tired. I care if I'm tired. And I realize that both of us can't be tired and come in here and be entertaining. So he fell asleep early last night.
Oh.
I stayed up late till 11:30.
Dana's very into, what's it called?
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Mm,
different than Khabib. But yeah.
Very different from Khabib.
Very different.
Almost as much violence, though.
Hey, tomato, tomato, whatever. And so I feel kind of guilty feeling tired because I could have gone to bed, an hour and a half earlier than I did. But I'm also very into this. So today I will recharge the battery. Today I will replenish. Automatic was saying we're going to go to the gym. It's leg day. I said, it's not leg day, honey.
Oh, no.
It's
going to be lay down day.
Yeah, it's going to be a light workout. And then tonight, go to bed early. And tomorrow we can be back on track, right? You got to recharge the battery. Kids out of spring break right now. There's just so much more work that's about to happen, you know?
I agree with that. No, and also there's nothing replaces sleep. And if there's anything, as much as I promote, you know, you're going to be tired if you want to be a champion and, you know, working until
I'll
you
can't sleep
no
when
more.
I die. Yeah, no. Gonna,
if I could go back and tell myself 5 years ago, I would tell myself, take another nap. It's okay.
Take another nap.
I saw this study that if you are getting less than 6 hours of sleep every night, that you're basically drunk at work.
Automatic. Well, maybe that's why I'm having a good time right now.
That's right.
Anthony A., National Day.
Let's go and kick it off with National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day. If you want to swim upstream against the superstition.
Don't do it. Why risk it? It might be true that if you open an umbrella, it's bad luck. So I say, don't do it.
Do you guys know where this originally comes from?
No.
It goes back to the Egyptian times when they believed that opening an umbrella indoors was disrespect to the sun god.
Oh, okay. Interesting that they had umbrellas, but okay. What else do you have?
And right along next, we'll wrap it up on National K-9 Veterans Day.
Oh, are these the dogs that served in the police force and military?
Yes, it is.
People don't give them enough credit. They go in first sometimes in bomb situations. I saw recently there was a man who had shot a police officer and he was armed. That police canine jumped into a dumpster, got that man by the hand. He dropped his gun real fast. Shout out to the canine vets.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's really important for you to advocate for yourself with your physician. I know that sometimes they push back. Oh, you're fine. You're this, you're that. You've really got to say, no, I want you to run tests. I want you to do whatever because it's my body. My mom had some pain in her jaw for a very long time, and she kept going to the dentist over and over again. No one seemed to have any answers. They did scans. They did all kinds of different things, and she couldn't figure it out. Dentist couldn't figure it out.
This went on for a couple of years.
This went on for a long time. So she went to Mexico. She thought, well, I'm just going to go to Mexico and see what they say. And the doctor there asked her a bunch of questions, including what medications are you taking? The dentist. And my mom wrote down everything. And then the woman said, stop taking this prescription. This is what's causing the issue. we don't even prescribe that in Mexico. We're not allowed to. So my mom was like, okay. And it was a pill that was to prevent osteoporosis. My mom does not have osteoporosis. This was a preventative. She comes back to the States and they're like, no, you're good. You can continue taking it. So she did. And this pill is linked to necrosis of the jaw, which is deterioration of the jaw. She had major deterioration. When they finally figured out what was going on, we're talking a year and 3 months, she had to end up having this major surgery. This was a 14-hour surgery. My mom is 70 years old. Anyone knows, anyone in the medical field knows that, you know, being on a table under anesthesia for 14 hours for a young, healthy person is an incredibly long amount of time.
For somebody at 70.
Horrible. And she had a heart attack after because of the amount of time. Luckily, she's such a strong person. She recovered. You know, she's on her road to good health and we're finally feeling okay. For the first time, she doesn't have as much pain. She's able to eat. Now, my mom weighed about 120 pounds. We're pretty small. She's down to 88 pounds at this point. Then she gets a call from her doctor and he says, I need you to come back to see me. This is the surgeon. Multiple doctors involved at this point. And she drives back to El Paso because that's where she had the surgery. And then he says, I'm sorry to tell you that you have cancer. All of this goes back to the prescription that she was given. Now, I'm not making this up. They actually wrote it down in her chart. One of the surgeons sat down with me and informed me that this was one of the side effects of this drug. And I said, well, then why the hell are you prescribing it to people? And she looked at me with her eyes wide open. She didn't even know what to say. I don't know that anybody'd ever asked anyone that kind of thing. This was not the person that prescribed the drugs, by the way, the prescription pills to my mom. But I was angry because my mother was in bed suffering.
She's been suffering for 2 years.
And I just was so upset. And I said, I know you didn't prescribe it, but what's going on here? My mom complained for a year and 3 months and no one told her it could be this pill till she went to Mexico. And then she comes back and they're like, it's cool. Ask your doctor a million times. Why are you giving this to me? And it's not just elderly people, anyone, because maybe the pill isn't the answer or maybe it's not the one for you. You know, maybe there's other ways that you can fix whatever it is going on. And like I told my mom, you didn't have osteoporosis. It's a preventative. I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand. But you could have lifted some weights and eaten some protein too. Like all of these things. There's other ways to do it. And I'm mad. And I'm very angry. And thank God she was accepted to MD Anderson.
Yes.
She begins treatment very soon. And I finally have a little bit of hope that I hope we can get past this. You know, now she felt scared for the first time last week. She's like, I want to beat this, Dana. You know, my grandmother, my Nana who raised me, my mom's mom, lived to be 96. My mom's I said, Mom, you are way too young to leave this planet. You have a quarter of a century plus more to go. So we're going to fight this and we're going to beat it. And shout out to everybody, MD Anderson, because she put her application in. We did it together. She got a call the next day.
Yeah.
I'm just angry. And I think that sometimes because it's a physician, a doctor, and they're in a position of power and they went through so much education, we feel like we don't have the right or the capacity, maybe the education to be able to question. But if you're feeling something, you have to fight for yourself.
And that's what you did. Dana advocated for her mom like I've never seen anyone.
Oh, and then her healthcare wanted to send her home. I said, what are you doing here?
I just know that if anything ever happens to me, I know that Dana, as my advocate, is she's going to take care of everything.
But as a family, just advocate for one another. But if you're alone, advocate for yourself. Fight for yourself and tell your doctor, I need you to listen to me. And if they don't, find another one.
A lot of it goes with even just going to the doctor to begin with.
Yeah.
A lot of people, in my experience growing up through life, we were raised to, you know, you toughen up and you push through whatever you need to push through to get the job done. And sometimes that can be detrimental to, you know, a person's health. So,
for sure.
If you don't have a primary care physician today, like, you know, use this opportunity and support Dana by following through with what she's requesting and go visit somebody.
I love that you said that because my mom's that way. Don't complain. Remember, I told you, she's in so much pain and she won't go, like, really complain.
We would go see her and she kept saying, my jaw hurts,
hurts. Mom, come on. You got to push back and ask what's going on. But we're here now. If you want to know what the prescription is, you can hit me up. I forgot to say that. At Dana Cortez on Instagram. Shoot me a direct message and I'll tell you. I'm so happy to be back home because my mom has a place to stay now. And I know we're going to beat this.
the Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Good Morning America has obtained audio of the woman who accused Jay-Z of sexual assault. Do you remember the Houston attorney, Tony Busby, filed a lawsuit, made headlines. And we have audio that will play for you right now of what she had to say about the incident. But first, Anthony, a celebrity birthdays.
Rapper Common celebrating his birthday. We also have Tristan Thompson, Ozuna, and friend of the show, Jack Harlow, also celebrating birthday as well.
What's up, y'all? It's Jack Harlow, and you're listening to the Dana Cortez Show.
Happy birthday. Jack Harlow. All right, so we're going to get a little serious right now. Tony Busby filed a lawsuit. It's been a few months accusing Jay-Z of sexually assaulting a woman he was representing. Jay vehemently denied it, went on the record immediately, filed a counter lawsuit and said he supported victims, kept saying, I'm a father to daughters. You know, I would never, ever do this. Of course, in a court of public opinion, you immediately assume
you lose.
But
everyone wants to believe the worst right away.
ABC has just released audio of the woman saying it was the attorney pushing her the entire time. Listen.
He was just there, but he didn't have anything to do with any sexual acts towards you. It was strictly, yeah.
The woman is also heard saying her lawyer put her up to suing one of the world's most recognizable stars.
He was the one that kind of pushed me towards going forward with him.
With Jay-Z. Busby did?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No.
This saddens me so much because people who are victims are already so frightened to come out. And then this just gives them a reason not to, because then you don't believe, well, this person lied, so everybody must be lying. And this is such a serious case. This is something that, according to those who've suffered at the hands of Diddy, have had to endure for years and years and years. And just a money grab like this, that's why Jay-Z filed a lawsuit against Tony Busby. He's going for him.
Yeah, and Tony Busby's trying to clear his name. He's now trying to blame the victim, saying you lied to me.
Well, so which, you know, that's what I'm saying. This is just not okay. It seems like whoever this woman is being taken advantage of, and it sounds to me like by this attorney. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm sure Beyonce, to a certain extent, is somewhat relieved. As
their whole family.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But that's her husband.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
no matter what, automatically, I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody accuses you of that, as much as you love someone, as much as you support them, it will make
ruin
you,
your marriage.
It would make you wonder, God, I hope this didn't happen.
Especially if it happened before you were together.
Yeah, exactly. She's stuck in the middle. And then the people that, like I said, who are true victims are probably screaming at the top of their lungs.
Which is the saddest part about everything.
That's the saddest part, because we all want justice for them. All right, we will keep watching this, and as the story develops, let you know what's going on. Back with more of the show after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
DJ Automatic and I have a joint bank account, and then we each have our separate bank accounts as well. Here's the difference. He's on my separate bank account, and I did that because I trust him, I love him, and if something were to happen to me, he could go in there and get the $85 I have.
Exactly.
In my savings account. So DJ Automatic has his own personal bank account, to which I have no access to. If something would happen to him, I don't know the passcode, I don't know anything about it. I don't have any legal rights to it, by the way.
That's not true.
It's 100%
true. You sure to use that account for not having any rights to it?
No, because I make you sign I have to do an old school check. Who writes checks anymore? Dana Cortez. Why? Because DJ Automatic won't allow access. Now, to a certain extent, I understand, since I only have $85 in my account, and I might not be the best at managing money.
And you are a very irresponsible spender.
Okay.
You pay the bills. You're right. You pay them, and you paid them on time.
Responsible.
But if you got $100 in your bank account, you're going to spend $125 because you need those shoes or that purse or that shirt or whatever. And just giving you the option to even do that is just a bad idea.
We don't need to talk about facts here. We need to talk about why I'm not on the account.
Yeah. And also, for the rest of us who aren't in a 10-year marriage, well, let's back it up a little bit. How was that initial conversation, Dana Cortez, when you say, hey, let's combine accounts? Or then did you guys always
Remember ever being put on her account.
Oh.
He blocked it, obviously. He did it because he doesn't want to put me on his account.
You can be on my account. I don't care.
Then why am I not on your account?
Because okay. We've never walked into the bank and physically
we had to
done
walk
it.
In. I did it without you walking in. I do credit union. You know, I just sent your ID in. I had forged your signature.
Exactly.
Or I had you signed something. I don't know what I did.
That's what I mean when I say she has access to my account. She always is in my account.
Look, half of people who are married share bank accounts. And I understand because, you know, we had a good friend of ours who'd been married for a long time. They split and her husband, soon to be ex-husband, cleared their bank account.
Oh.
So I do understand being apprehensive. Anthony, is that not insane? And left her with no money to pay the mortgage, kids, everything, nothing. She had nothing. She had to scrounge and skimp and borrow. Meanwhile, he's living it up, you know, took the furniture and everything. So I do understand people being apprehensive. I would never do that, DJ Automatic. Even, God forbid, something would happen to us, it would never happen. That's not the kind of woman I am.
I would never do that. You know that I would never do that. And plus, on top of that, we have other bank accounts that we have together that have way more money in them. So I don't understand why you want to be a part of my 16-year-old bank account.
Is that what it is? Because you've had it since high school?
It was my first bank account, and it's always been my bank account.
Well, that kind of changes everything a little bit. Now, there's like a sense. It's your own bank account. You started by yourself. That's cool. All right, that makes sense.
I went with my dad into Wells Fargo, and I got the bank account, and I've had it ever since.
Well, I want to be a part of that. Now I feel even worse.
I think my dad's still on it, and he's, you know, obviously he's not
around anymore. And Papa Maddox's not even here anymore. Anthony, have you ever shared an account with a woman?
No, not at all. That's why I was asking about the conversation. Like, what's that initial conversation like?
Well, but you lived with somebody. How do you pay bills?
Separately. You just upload it. Everyone just uploads themselves, and that's it. You just split the bills right down the middle. That was simple. You just submit ACH drafts, whatever.
ACA or something like that.
But wait a minute. You would split bills like roommates?
Yeah. I've never had the conversation of, hey, let's combine bank accounts together. I think that's a pretty intimate thing because that's something like when you're initially dating somebody, you don't even ever think about that at all. That's like one of the last things you think about.
That's true.
You're really taking, you know, really picking up the hood underneath the car in the respect of like, now you're going to find out a person's credit score. You're going to find out what they've really been lying about because it's easy to fake it, you know, until you start combining.
I got that.
Once you start getting a shared mailing address, that's also when it ramps up a little bit, too.
And Automatic did have bad credit when we met, but he had lots of cash in the bank. Lots of cash. He just didn't like to pay on time.
I figure I'd just keep the money with me.
I'm like, but you would pay an extra $5 or $10 every month for every bill, which didn't make any sense to me.
That could have been going towards Dana's shoes.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Just when he thought it was over, the Drake Kendrick beef is back. So I'll give you some deets on that after Anthony A gets his celebrity birthdays.
We have Common celebrating his birthday. Aww. Tristan Thompson, Ozuna, and Jack Harlow also celebrating a birthday.
All right, so this time the beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar has nothing to do with their lyrics and everything to do with numbers. GNX is back at the top spot. Drake and Party Next Door, Some Sexy Songs for You is at number 2. And the craziest part about it is there's like only 500 units apart.
Yeah.
So, and Anthony, you said something off air. You don't even think it's fair these are being compared because it's two totally different albums.
Yeah, they're like way different. Drake went with the more R&B route and like, you know, he has really good like pop songs on there too. And Kendrick's album, you know, is a hip hop album. It kept the theme of what he has been doing. And it's just really cool though to see them bring it back to the forefront too. And it's good for music.
It's good for music. That's for sure.
Kendrick has the number one song right now with Luther also. But I will say, I feel like Drake's album was kind of songs that they just never used.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas GNX was like a well thought out, this is a hip hop masterpiece.
It's just something that he really, like you said, you knew Kendrick was going to come with something different. His last album was not as successful as
one of my favorite prior Kendrick albums, though. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is like,
of course it is. It's dark and dark.
And emotional.
And emotional, yeah. And it very much represents you, DJ Automatic. You listen to that nonstop, whereas it would make me tired. Because it was, you know, it was a lot. It was a very heavy album. Not to say it was bad. It was good, but it was very heavy. This album, for me, Kendrick is like, he's having fun. He's coming, you know, he's at his best. He's just having a good time. He's got some dance tracks in there, some good stuff with SZA.
I do feel that the whole audience, all of us are a little exhausted on them going back and forth. If I was Drake, I would not try to spark up a round two.
I don't think he is. I really don't.
And sometimes you just got to take the L and move on.
But also, like, take the L and go forward with, like, more, like, dance records. I like Nokia one on there is really good, and then the other
Give Me a Hug
was a fun. But also I was listening back to his old albums where like he had like Blam and then like the dancey stuff too. I think if Drake does that, the summer is needed.
You know what's trending right now on TikTok and Instagram? Passion Fruit. Yeah, it's like one of the number one trending songs, and that's an old Drake song. I wouldn't mind having some of that again.
I'm with you though. I think that if he goes the more pop route, he's going to have a lot more.
What's
success
your favorite
right now?
Song on Sexy Songs for You, DJ Automatic, Drake's new one?
Die Trying.
Yeah, and there you go. If you have to
something is going to shake up though, because Kendrick's going on tour soon. So I don't think Kendrick's just going to go on tour and not give us more music.
He'll probably give us a deluxe.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We talked earlier about the fact that DJ Automatic and I, we have a joint bank account. I have my own personal that he's on. He has his own personal. I'm not on it. And I acted like I was a little more upset than I am that I'm not on it. I think I would want my name on there, DJ Automatic, since we're married, obviously, but also just in case, right?
Yeah,
just
do you think it's possible, Automatic, to give her access to the account, but not like the PIN number and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Anthony.
I'm pretty sure when I signed that marriage license that she got access to my account.
No, it doesn't work that way. No, when somebody passes, it does not work that way.
I mean, Dana's been married 3 times. She would know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with her on this side, so,
This is true. Mm-hmm. This is true. They say 3 times a charm.
That could be part of the reason why I won't give her the bank account.
Oh, hey now, say now.
But I'm pumped. Anyway, I do understand apprehension when it comes to meshing money, merging money, putting it together. My girlfriend got with this guy, and I do remember thinking it was pretty fast, but he was so good to her, Anthony. Automatic, you already know the story well. She has a very well-to-do father and mother, okay? And it's pretty well known. He didn't start that way. He worked his way up, okay? He comes from a very humble beginnings, all of that.
But he's in the hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars, yes. So anyway, she meets this guy, and he seems like a lovely person. He treats her so well. Everything's going good. He proposes. Big old rock. Everybody's like, man, this is it. And her dad was like, okay, he seems like a good guy. He checks all the boxes, got a great job, went to a great school, Ivy League. And her father decides to call the school he claimed to go to honor him in some way because he had a friend that taught there. Oh, he didn't go to school there.
What? Never. He didn't never attended the school.
Didn't get the degree.
So the new man never.
The fiance never went to school there. So then, of course, her
huge pops red flag
is like, hold on. If he lied about one thing, he's going to lie about another.
Not necessarily.
So, well, he did.
Oh, damn. Dude, I was really
did. He didn't work for the place he said he did, and he was $700,000 in debt.
$700,000.
How do you have all that student loan debt, no degree?
I don't get it. Well, he had a degree, but not from the Ivy League school he claimed to go to, and I think he was trying to be an investor, and obviously he was poor at doing it.
Well, that does sound a little Wolf of Wall Street-y.
Like, it does, right?
Got something going on right there.
Yeah, so anyway, that's why he was trying to marry my girlfriend, because he knew who her dad was, and he knew once they said, I do, you mixed money. You've merged your money together.
She assumes the debt, and then daddy's going to take care of his debt, too.
Oh, that's wise thinking.
You can call it wise, or you can call it a thief.
It wasn't wise thinking, because he didn't anticipate that her dad was going to be wiser. And she
didn't get there with hundreds of millions by being a dummy.
And she called the wedding off. She called the wedding off, which I thought was really good, because she was completely...
Her or the IRS?
No. She did, which it was hard for her. She was in love with this guy. She really thought this was it, when really he was just in love with the money.
He was hustling.
Yeah. So I get why you might be a little apprehensive, DJ Automatic, to merge money with me. But neither one of us has debt like that. And God knows...
neither one of us has that kind of money either.
We don't have any kind of money either. Sponsored by Optima Tax. Tax issues? Call Optima Tax Relief at 800-352-9218.